It's your daily dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, March 22nd, and I'm a little delayed in my live show because we just received breaking news about Princess Catherine of Wales having cancer, and that is why she has been away from the public. I feel like as a world, we can all take a collective sigh and also start to question our own behavior over the last couple of weeks. At least I do mine. We're also going to talk a little bit about Summer House and Buying Beverly Hills and about how marriage is just really dang hard. All on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for being here, and welcome to another Friday show. Oh, my goodness. So I was sitting here ready to go live. I did have, for those of you that love knowing about my gardener, he does come on Fridays, and he really times his appearance very well. But as I'm sitting here, it kind of all worked out for the show because I'm so glad that I was able to see this before we started the show. Had we been watching, had we been in the middle of the show when we got the news, I would have felt so just like shocked and disorganized. But we all just saw together that Kate Middleton has announced, the fact that she is struggling with cancer, and she is in the early stages right now of getting chemotherapy, which is going to be incredibly difficult. I say as, you know, just because of the show, I think I will air the video for you guys. This is from the Prince and Princess of Wales official Twitter account. And you can hear from her in case you haven't been able to hear the news, which I'm sure you can hear her words, and then we can talk about it. This is from their Twitter account.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body, and spirits. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support, and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I'm able. But for now, I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
Wow. Okay. So a few things to say here. obviously, number one, first and foremost, for anyone that is watching this and watch the video, I imagine everyone out there feels for her. I can't see anyone feeling anything but, you know, empathy or feeling hopeful for her, sending prayers, love, light, all those things, healing wishes. So that is a no-brainer. Forget that she's a princess or anyone, you know, famous. She's a mother. She's young. She's my age. And yes, I'm young. And she is a mother of three. So obviously, and a daughter and a sister and all of those things. So of course, we're going to hope the best for her. Luckily, she's also, you know, incredibly fortunate. Not so many people are, to be in a position where she can get all the best treatment. She has access to all the best doctors in the UK and beyond. I'm hearing all kinds of rumors already, like in my DMs, in my texts and stuff, that, you know, she doesn't have a long time to live and this and that. And I'm like, no, we're not going there yet. What we can say from this is she did have abdominal surgery in January. And from that, they found cancerous, they found cancer. So we can imagine or assume it's something abdominal related. It could be anything from, you know, uterus, ovaries, colon. I mean, I don't know. Abdominal cancer is a real deal thing. There's a million things that could have happened. And she does look incredibly thin. She always has been thin, but she does look very thin. But she, most importantly, has finally been able to put the rumors to rest. Now, this is an interesting take on, not take, but like, this is where we have to think about, because I understand, like, we all really did have a lot of quote unquote fun going through the rabbit hole. And I know I'm not alone here. I know so many of you guys were with me on this one. And I think the reason why it was so kind of interesting is because we're not used to getting such a lack of communication from a public figure. And so I feel awful, obviously, as being part of anyone that kind of went into the theories and all of that. But I wish more than anything, and we didn't need to know about the cancer and everything, but there was no consistency in the communications between the Kensington Palace, between the palace and, you know, anything from the public. So when there's no communication and then we're getting fed this like Photoshop thing. And by the way, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that during this entire thing, the palace, seriously, still the royal family still blamed her for Photoshop. And they are the reason. The palace is the reason for this insane conspiracy fueled moment. Like, let's not forget that. America or the world didn't start this. What happened was we just didn't have any information, and then we got fed that effed up picture that they blamed on Kate. And I can pretty much guarantee that Kate probably had nothing to do about it, you know? I can pretty much guarantee that Kate didn't have anything to do with being in the picture, taking the picture, and editing the picture. And now I feel extra bad for her that in the middle of going through really, truly a crisis of life and death, because that's what cancer is, you also now have to deal with the public thinking that you're like editing your photos. So that makes me so mad. And it created this drama for her. And now I need to know who set up this fake farm shop video that everyone was fighting over just this last week. Who set these, like, these, you know, sightings up? It's really, really horrible. And now can you imagine, like, all she's doing is trying to survive and trying to get through what could undoubtedly be the worst experience of her entire life as a mother in the public. And then she has to deal with this. Ugh, that bothers me so much for her. Anyway, I will say this. Yeah, I will say it does make sense now, because remember, there was that clip of her uncle on Celebrity Big Brother talking to, oh, Lord, not Ekansu. And he said, when it gets announced, I will be able to speak on it. She's under the best care. So this really does completely make sense. And I think a lot of us kind of had a feeling it was something bigger than just some random abdominal surgery, because a lot of us were starting to say, okay, you know, she had this abdominal surgery. She should at this point be good enough. But the truth is she's probably going through, I mean, I can't even imagine the, not only how bad you must feel physically, but just the fear and the anxiety. And if it's like abdominal related, it's probably a big deal. I personally feel like, you know, I just feel so sad. I feel so sad for her. And I'm thinking about her, and the rumors are all because of the damn palace. So they need to find a new PR team. Okay. We had to talk about that. Let's get into the reality TV portion of the show, because obviously there's always going to be some fun things that it's still a Friday after all. And we do want to, you know, have fun today. Right? So we're going to get into fun. But first, before we do that, I want to shout out our sponsors for the week. Let's get them over with right now so we can just get into our stories. And the first one is ZipRecruiter. And if you guys know, ZipRecruiter is the best way to hire. And that's because with ZipRecruiter, it does the work for you. So instead of having to sit, you know, for example, I had a TikTok yesterday where I was making this viral carrot salad. I also posted it on Instagram for those of you. And everyone was in the comments saying, like, why are you doing that? Why are you shredding your own carrots? Just go to Trader Joe's and buy shredded carrots. Well, yeah. I mean, the truth is I would do that, but that requires extra time for me to go to the market. So maybe I need to go on ZipRecruiter and get a personal assistant. Listen, I'm trying as hard as I can to just incorporate this into the show. So ZipRecruiter also needs to be out there finding new PR for the palace. And honestly, ZipRecruiter, you better just like start finding someone immediately. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, they send it to 100 plus job sites, so you reach more of the right people. ZipRecruiter's smart technology also quickly scans thousands of resumes to identify people whose skills and experience match your job. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Donna. That's D-A-N-A. ZipRecruiter.com/Donna. And once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Donna. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And then this show is also brought to you by Dr. Motion Socks. And I told you about this yesterday, my compression socks that I wore all day long. I felt so good in them. No blister, no hurting my feet, walking over 10 to 15,000 steps a day lately. I wore them again this morning on my walk to yoga. Love my compression socks. They're good for anyone that is active, that has a job where you're on your feet a lot. If you're a runner, if you're a teacher, a nurse, anything like that, try them out at drmotionsocks.com. Okay. Wow. Okay. The comments over here on, you know, the YouTube live, if you're watching this later, you can always scroll over and watch the live chat. I always love reading the comments as much as I possibly can as I go through the show, because I get a lot of nuggets from you guys and I hear, you know, what you're saying. Lots of people are talking about their own experience with chemotherapy and cancer, and I'm sending you so much love, Sandy, specifically to you. So much love. And to anyone else that is struggling with this, I know everyone right now is touched by cancer in some capacity. There's no way you're not, because it's everywhere and it's just devastating. So let's get into some stories. Yeah. Let's get into some stories. I did see something interesting and I want to find it because I just saw this. Do you guys struggle with panic attacks? Gisele Bündchen reveals that changing her diet helped her panic attacks. Why do I find this interesting? Panic attacks. Do you guys believe in this, by the way, that your diet can increase your panic attacks? Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. So I'm going to not diagnose anyone with anything. But she basically says that in the early years in her fashion industry, she was scarred by her anxiety. She started modeling at 14. She found herself on a hamster wheel of a career, working constantly and neglecting to look after her health. And as a result, she wound up suffering from severe depression and panic attacks in her early 20s until an amazing naturopath helped her turn her life around. So she says that she was going 100 miles per hour, et cetera. And then finally, the naturopath said, "Giselle, we have to change your diet." She said, "Diet? What does that have to do with my panic attacks?" And he's like, "No, it has everything to do with it." So at that point, she was drinking, she was smoking cigarettes, and she was having coffee all the time. The naturopath said, "Stop right there." Mentioned that her sleeping was all over the place, and that wasn't helping. And she was eating a lot of comfort food like chocolate and biscuits, which is shocking considering, you know, she was a young model. But the naturopath redirected her onto a path of a healthy diet, daily exercise, and a minimum of 8 hours of sleep a night, and the panic attacks stopped. So this is something I will say. I used to struggle from major debilitating panic attacks. I think I've talked about that before. I don't really, you know if that's something we really want to get into right now, but I did. I suffered from major debilitating panic attacks. And I do think a couple things really attribute to it. So number one, what caused my panic attacks may be different than anyone for you guys, but what caused my panic attacks was anytime I felt a little shaky, low blood sugar. If I felt a little bit like dizzy, low blood sugar, or struggled with like taking a deep breath, it was a physical thing that created the mental panic attack. It was never because I was stressed out. Well, maybe it was, but I always felt like a physical reaction or a physical symptom triggered my anxiety attack. So it does make sense that if you're drinking a shite ton of caffeine every day and you're like super hyped up and like jittery, you know, that feeling where you're just like, oh my God, that could trigger a panic attack. Also, when you don't sleep a lot and you're feeling kind of foggy and out of it, that could definitely trigger a panic attack. And finally, I imagine sugar is in that same arena if you're eating a lot of sugar. Although I felt like sugar to me, and this is going to sound probably really unhealthy, but I felt like sugar was always helpful to me because when my blood sugar was low, I was like Shelby with the juice. I was Shelby with the juice. Name the movie in the comments. Whenever my blood sugar was low and I was a little shaky, I always felt like I needed to drink something, you know, with a little like juice type of thing. Or for me, it was like eating a protein-filled snack or like eating like a protein bar. That was always something that I always have. By the way, I always have protein bars or some sort of snack in my bag. Do you guys, are you this person too? I do not go anywhere. I do not go to the grocery store without a snack in my bag. Anywhere I am, I've got a snack present. I have a little bit of snack anxiety or like hunger anxiety maybe. So anyway, that is truly why I felt like, you know, it helped. Now, a lot of you guys struggle with anxiety. I'm going to be 100%, you know, transparent to you guys. I started taking an anti-anxiety medication. So I'm on a very, very low dose of Zoloft. I've been on it for years. And I haven't had to up my dose. It just curbs those panic attacks. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's just in my head, but it works for me. For anyone out there that is really struggling with debilitating panic attacks, just know that, like, I'm not joking you. And I also, by the way, I got over the anxiety before the medication. I started the medication for a different kind of anxiety, which I'm not going to get into here. Maybe that's a Patreon story. That was like a crazy story in 2019. But in 2000 and probably it was before I had the kids, like 2011, 10 and 11 were like the worst, maybe 2009, worst years of my life anxiety-wise. And I remember going to my workouts and I would sit in the workout and I would need to always place myself as close as I could to the bathroom. Because if I got up to go to the bath, if I felt like I was going to, I always felt like I was going to faint or like get sick. I needed to be close to a bathroom. And I remember sitting there, I was, you know, 27, 26. And I remember sitting there and like looking around at other people at the gym and being like, how are they doing it? Like, how are they living like just normal. I just felt so, you know, jealous of people that I thought could just like go through their day without it. But I will tell you, it can go away. So we can talk about it. A lot of you guys agree that a lot of you go everywhere without, you won't go anywhere. Like Robin says, I won't go anywhere without a water and some type of protein bar. So you use mini bars like Larabar minis or RX minis. I like the Think Thin bars. I don't know why they're high protein. And the Bear Bells bars, say that 10 times fast, I buy it at Trader Joe's, Bear Bells. They're just high protein. They're probably not the healthiest for you, I'm not going to lie. But they have some calories and they have high protein. So I enjoy them. Okay. So anyway, there's a lot of things in the comments that you guys can read about anxiety and stuff. But it is worthy to think about the fact that your diet definitely can attribute to anything in your life, like hormonal changes. Now that I'm talking about all this hormone stuff, I'm getting fed all these things about like what I should eat, what I shouldn't eat, what supplements I should take. Speaking of, I got to go to Whole Foods and up my nighttime supplements. Okay. By the way, you guys, if you want to talk about anxiety, I know that that's kind of like a crazy thing, but we can totally have like a conversation about this on maybe Patreon or something, because the most thing I wanted to know about when I was going through the height of my anxiety was that I wasn't alone. That was really important to me. So I would happily be there for any of you guys that are feeling this way too. Okay, let's get into last night. You guys, my friend Molly Dare, she says, not house in habit, acting like she's the moral compass for everyone right now. I don't know what House and Habit is posting, but she's probably like, told you. Okay, let's keep it going. So I started buying Beverly Hills. I watched I watched episode one and most of episode two. It was released probably at midnight or whatever. So I will say this. So far, I'm really liking the show. Buying Beverly Hills, of course, is Mauricio. And now, I mean, really, it's his Mauricio and his family show. How amazing. Amazing. It's so Mauricio and Aisha. How amazing would it be if you were one of those Umansky daughters? I always think about this in this way. Like, I can't imagine how lucky it would be to be born into a home like that where college or no college, it doesn't even matter. Just get a job in real estate and you're immediately like a high-powered real estate agent at one of the biggest real estate, you know, agencies in the world. Must be nice. Must be nice. But this season, we see more than just Farrah. Like last season, we saw Farrah and Alexia. And this season, we now see Sophia, who's the third youngest in the lineup, and she's joining the company. And in episodes one and two, we really kind of see that dynamic that she seems like she's just a little bit maybe lazy, spoiled, entitled. They keep saying that they're scared of her. I'm confused by that. But she joins the team. And I guess like a big storyline will be the fact that, you know, she's getting lucky that she is in there, even though she doesn't really work that hard, but we'll have to see. I have no idea. Alexia, who is the second in age. So it's Farrah, Alexia, Sophia, Portia. Alexia is my favorite. She seems the most down to earth to me. She has Kyle Richards' voice like through and through. It's crazy. I was listening while I was in the shower, like I had it playing on my phone. And so I was listening and I kept thinking that was Kyle speaking. They have the exact same voice. Farrah is, of course, the oldest. She's Mauricio's stepdaughter. She's Kyle's biological daughter. And she clearly, obviously, goes through a breakup also this season. She was engaged at the end of last season and now she goes through a breakup. But there's something about Farrah. And I try really hard. I'm trying so much to not like fall into this feeling, but there's something about Farrah that is really off-putting to me. Maybe you guys can pick up on this. She's not doing anything like specifically mean or bad, but there's something about her that just feels so, like she feels so closed off to me. She feels like she does not want to be on reality TV. But she's doing it because like she has no choice. She grew up in it. Her parents are doing it. Her cousins, her aunts, like they're all on reality TV. She just seems like an unhappy person. Maybe she's our new Katie Maloney, but she doesn't have that like bite. I'm just confused by her personality. A lot of you guys saw it too. Okay, Farrah got that stank face, Andrew Dominguez says. Oh my God, so funny. Maddie says she can't crack a smile ever. So you guys agree. It's really interesting. It's like, it's not likable. She lacks a likability. And I think all the other girls, well, I don't really know anything about Portia because we just don't see Portia really at all. But all the other girls, at least Alexia to me, is very likable. And Sophia, I'm not really sure yet. I have yet to see it. But the opening scene of the show is Mauricio. It's the scene that we've all seen. It's Mauricio telling the girls sitting outside in their backyard that, you know, I wanted this to work, but your mom wants a separation. And the three girls are all crying. And then they say 6 months earlier. So now we're watching, you know, the 6 months prior to when we know they're going to separate. Now, a couple interesting things. Base Reality 16, and I wish I could share it with you, but I don't want to get this pulled for copyright infringement, so I can't. But Face Reality 16 posted a clip from an episode when Kyle shows up in episode one, and then, but they're not, it's not like super much, it's not about their relationship at all. But later on, and I don't know which episode this is specifically, they're in Aspen. Now you'll die when you see this clip. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go to Face Reality 16 or just watch the show where they're in Aspen, which is Kyle's happy place. Cause you know, that's where you can wear your hats. Like all the time. And she's riding a bike with these two Hermes bags that are the size of my computer. It's huge, these huge bags, right? And she's riding this bike going up on, you know, going up this hill, going into this like the most stunning Aspen palatial home. I mean, with this, like, with these two Hermes bags. So my friend texts me and she goes, I have never felt so depressed about my life until I saw Kyle riding her bike with the two Hermes bags going into the house of my dreams. And I said, but you know what's so interesting about this? She literally has everything on paper, right? She has the handsome husband that works and is successful beyond belief. She has homes in every, you know, pretty city that she needs a home in. She has four beautiful, successful, healthy, happy daughters. She has a career. She has more money than you can know about. Like she has health. She's in, she has a good body. Like, and how unhappy does Kyle feel? It's just so interesting. Like, I just find that she feels so unhappy in this time when everything around her is good. And a lot of these scenes that we're seeing are the girls talking about the fact that, like, I don't have a lot of, you know, we don't talk about things in this house. Mauricio or her dad never shows us that he's stressed out until just recently. He's always smiling. Everything's been fine. We sweep things under the rug. We don't talk about our issues in this family. And I can't help but think, what an unhealthy way to raise kids, especially when you're a public figure and you're all over reality TV. What an unhealthy way to raise children when you are, everyone's talking about you, but you guys are just pretending everything's fine at home. For those of you that are wondering, do I think it's safe and healthy and like the right thing to fight openly with your spouse in front of your kids? No, but I have disagreements with Lance in front of my kids all the time because it's normal life. And I'm not scared to say, hey, no, that I don't like that or whatever. But what we always do is we try really hard to show our kids that it's okay to argue and just say, I'm sorry. I don't think my kids are ever going to grow up ever and say, like, mommy and daddy never fought. Now, if we're having like a serious conversation or like a heated argument, we'll definitely not do it in front of the kids. But it has happened. Like, we have gotten annoyed with each other. And I don't understand why that's a negative thing. I think my kids feel really safe for the fact that they know that mom and dad fight, but they love each other and they also really get along. So anyway, and it's also a good, it's like you're setting a good example to show your kids it's okay to argue and then also make up and apologize. And healthy relationships have arguments in them. So I'm not, you know, a relationship therapist, but I just don't think that that's the best way to raise a kid, especially one who's going on TV. Like, The fact that they learned about the separation of their parents through People magazine is just absolutely not. It's not the move, right? Don't you guys agree that like that must have sucked? Anyway, I am, you know, also interested in this one scene. So there's this one scene again where they're in the kitchen in Aspen. And they have the exact same scene that we saw in Beverly Hills on that finale episode when they picked the cameras back up, where he says, at least it's not me having an affair today. Like, at least I'm not the one that has the rumors about the affair. And she's like, yeah, at least it's not you this time. And I'm thinking to myself, didn't we just see this on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? So did they just do like a take two of the same scene? But Eliza from Face Reality DM'd me saying, no, this was filmed. This was filmed prior to the Beverly Hills scene. So they were talking about their separation on Netflix way before they were talking about anything on Beverly Hills. And it's crazy how much more we know already on Beverly Hills just from this moment. He's going to talk about Morgan Wade. Like, so much is on. It's on Netflix, Josh. It's for anyone that needs to, you know what's going on. I just can't with Kyle, guys. Sorry. I'm still frustrated with her after what she put us through on Beverly Hills and this whole idea of like, no one can know anything and we're keeping it all secret and I don't want my kids to be affected by this. Oh, by the way, they're the stars of a show that's going to talk about it. So I just don't want them to be affected about it unless they're getting paid on Netflix. Like, is that what it is? Is it all about because they're getting paid from Netflix and they're not getting maybe paid from Bravo? So she's like, I'm going to give it to where, you know, I know my girls are going to get more money. I don't know. Robin says, I'm grossed out by Mauricio and I used to think he was so hot. So you know my feelings. I think Mauricio used to be the hottest house husband, right? Like everyone felt that way. Now it's, I don't know if he's hot, but he's definitely the best house husband. And that's Russell, Gertie's husband. But I find Mauricio squeamish and like smarmy, but I liked him on Buying Beverly Hills episodes 1 and 2. So I'm curious from you guys if you feel the same way. Like he seems like a really good dad and he seems really invested. And like, I don't know, there's something about him that I'm into on the show, but I don't like his real life TikTok personality. This ain't Texas. Woo! Interesting. We'll have to see, you guys. We'll have to see how it progresses. We've only just had a couple minutes to watch. Of course, my friend Michelle, who's on the show, she shows up episode 3. I think she's the villain in this season. This is her first time on the show. And I was like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm nervous. Like this is, she's like, why did I do this? Why did I sign up for this? Okay, just breaking news, Pop Apologist 7 minutes ago wrote this. A lot of you guys are talking about Pop Apologist and Kate Middleton and everything. So let me just tell you what Pop Apologists have written on their Instagram. Throughout this whole process, we knew there were a lot of possible negative outcomes. This feels like one of the worst. We are truly devastated by this development, but hopeful to hear that the chemotherapy is preventative. Our admiration of Princess Catherine has never wavered, and we are just now praying for her to continue getting healthier every day. Just to let you guys know, I just can't believe that both King Charles and Princess Catherine, Kate, have cancer at the same time. Like, wasn't William gone through enough as a child? Okay. Robin says, I agree. Evan and Russell. Who's Evan? Oh, Evan Goldschneider. Really? That's interesting. I would never put him as like my top. He's a good one. But Craig. We're going to talk about Craigie. I had Lance in the room while I was watching Summer House last night, which by far is my favorite Bravo show now. You guys, Summer House is where it's at. I don't know why. Even last night, which was kind of a boring episode, is the best hour of TV for me. I don't know why. So, Michelle says Fergie also just went through breast and skin cancer. Yeah, like what the F? That sucks. Okay, so Summer House. You guys, when I tell you, I just want more and more of Summer House at all times. Number one, we start off in the city, I feel like. I'm feeling like we're starting off in the city. Or we go to the city at some point. Like, I can't really remember how the episode started. But we're talking about, I think it started in the city. Whatever. There's a Paige and Craig scene that I find just adorable and so cute and so fun to watch. And Paige is talking about the fact that she has, she's looking for a new apartment. Craig is at her house. They're having so much fun. And, just like chatting it up. I'm having so much fun, I should say, watching them. I want to see a show of Craig and Paige. I will watch that show until the ends of the earth. The reason why I don't want them to have a show is because I think it's going to be a kiss of death for their relationship. But from what we heard yesterday, it doesn't sound so good. You guys, I'm a little concerned about Paige and Craig for the long run. I think Paige is obsessed with Craig. And I think part of her humor is kind of being like, I don't need him. But then Craig's, behavior towards her is like, I'm obsessed with her. I will do anything. She says she's laying there and she says, on the phone with a real estate agent looking for a new apartment. She's like, I pay $8,500. She said 8.5. I was in absolute shock over this. $8,500 a month for a one-bedroom apartment in New York City. Okay. Obviously, real estate is crazy here in Los Angeles too, but like, there's got to be a better way for you to put that money, Paige. Being an influencer, you don't know what the longevity of your career is, but then the rest of the episode, I was thinking about how much money is Paige actually making here? How much money? Okay. Think about all her streams of income. She does her Amazon Lives. She does her influencer work. Both of those probably bring in a ton of money. She does Summer House and any other reality show she's on, which is also probably decent money. And then she has the Giggly Squad, which is that what they're called? The Giggly Squad? Giggly Squad with Hannah Berner. And you guys, this podcast, which I listen to, does so well. Yesterday, it was number 4 on the top Amazon, Apple podcast charts. So if you think about the numbers that they're making, and then they do their live shows. So she has like 5 different streams of income coming in. She's doing fine financially. Craig is also doing well, although Craig probably has crazy overhead, but he has a sewing down south and he has a home and, all of his stuff that he also has a podcast, Pillows and Beer. I just don't think it's doing nearly as well. The first scene is where Carl is on the phone with his mom. That's what's happening. He's got a bucket hat and he's talking on the phone with his mom. And this is right after Lindsay like drunkenly stumbled off to the street. And this is the craziest thing. You guys, Lindsay, I find her incredibly beautiful. I do. But she really does not look at her best in this season of Summer House. I think we can all agree to this. Whether it's she's unhappy or she's drinking like a fish. She has bad posture. She looks like just schlubby and schlumpy. Her extensions are coming out. She just doesn't look at her best. But we just see the copious amounts of drinking. And by the way, the editing of the show, the way that they're showing the drinking in every single episode is insane. Like, they're hightail focusing on Lindsay drinking in this episode and in the season. That's all I can see completely. So Craig is talking to his mom, which is very interesting because later we remember seeing a scene where he's talking to his mom and his stepdad, and they're saying something along the lines of like, I wouldn't marry you and Lindsay. Like, I don't think you guys are a good match. But this makes sense because he's on the phone with his mom and he's like, I don't know what to do. We're both feeling hurt. We're just not talking well, whatever. But sure enough, Lindsay comes back from her walk. They haven't really talked since this winery or this daytime episode about like, it was a lift, that scene that happened last week. They come back to the house, then they just keep partying like it's fine. And luckily, they have this camping night planned by Danielle. I'm so confused by these like planned activities, by the way. Have any of you guys been that organized? And Danielle's drinking all day long. So Danielle's able to be drinking all day long, and now all of a sudden she can, party it up and then like, plan an entire event of camping. It's always so good. There must be a producer that's like, this weekend we're doing camping and I'm ordering all the supplies and here's a list of instructions of what you guys need to do this weekend. Because there's no way that, like, there's absolutely no way that Danielle is sitting there buying camping supplies, right? I just want to know how it works in the, like, behind the scenes over there. So Lindsay is just drinking through her pain. She's not talking to Carl. She's just drinking through it. And they end up deciding to go camp, you know, in the backyard. They have these really fun activities. Wes is just the best. Wes is the best. And by the way, you guys, that reminds me, Wes is a guest on, how many things can I rhyme? Wes is a guest on Kate Casey today. And I am as well. So I talk about the Valley on Kate Casey's show today. So they're getting ready for this camping night. They end up coming outside and doing all these activities. Wes makes a comment along the lines of the fact that if I was ever stuck in the wilderness, I would want Lindsay on my team. It's so true because he's like, I would just get, you know, completely bossed around by her. But it does make sense. Again, you see Lindsay pouring crazy amounts of alcohol in her canteen. Like, that's all we're seeing. And I'm watching it on silent as I'm talking to you guys. They end up going camping. They pair off. They have to build tents. Very cute, very fun. You know, and they're playing all these kind of contests. And then they eat their dinner and they're playing spin the bottle. And, you know, we're having fun with this. There's some dares, some kissing. Lindsay takes off her top. Kyle takes off his bottoms. Oh my God. Kyle's chicken legs are unreal. Kyle and Sutton should have a competition for chicken legs. Like, that's what I, like when I see Kyle's chicken legs, that's what I see. It's like shocking. The drinking is going to be a conversation that we're going to have in just a bit. Michelle says something, that's the problem I have with Summer House. The edit of Kyle's excessive drinking is done with humor, and Lindsay's edit of drinking is so insidious in comparison. I am 100% with you, Michelle. I saw this in this episode too. I mean, we've seen it in every episode, but they're showing Lindsay drinking as evidence of the arguments and the fights. Whereas when you see Kyle drinking, you see him like parting it up in a positive way. But that's also because, and there's a conversation that happens later, and I'll get into it with Craig and Kyle about growing up and just like stop drinking, which I think will be a little bit interesting. So then, you know, they're all kind of hanging out in the tent. We have this whole like makeout scene between Sierra and Wes. Love them together. They all go back inside in the middle of the night because I guess why would you stay in a small tent when you have a bed? I mean, I wouldn't ever start the night in a tent, but that's me. I'm not a camper, hardly even a glamper. I'm a bedder. You know what I mean? The next morning, Amanda and Kyle have an interesting conversation, and Amanda says something along the lines of, I like waking up when there's light. Okay. Open your curtains. Amanda's making a lot of conversations about the fact that she's not happy in the city, that she wants to be in New Jersey. She wants a yard. She wants to raise kids around her family. And I get all that. Like, I really do. She's like, my dad and mom would be the best grandparents. They would help me so much. I personally would love to go outside and have a yard and drink my coffee outside. Like, I get all of that. I just find it really interesting how this is. Yeah, I feel like we've seen this conversation before on the show between them or between, I don't know. Doesn't it just feel like Amanda's just like not happy in her life? She does seem happy in a lot of times, but she doesn't, I think like whatever her life setup is, so whether that's with Kyle in the apartment or whatever, there's always just an issue. She's just not at peace. She needs to find more happiness within herself because I think a lot of people attribute it to geography. They think once I move to New Jersey, I'm going to be happy. Once I go somewhere else, I'll be happy. Do you have people like that in your life? I just have to move and I'll be happy. I just have to get that job and I'll be happy. I just have to get married and I'll be happy. But look at Kyle with her Hermes bags. It's not about that. Are you happy inside? So anyway, they have a cute little conversation. I like when Amanda and Kyle get along, I have to be honest. Then Carl goes to SoulCycle with a couple of the people in the house. And after their workout, They're talking about the fact that, oh, before he goes to SoulCycle, he's in bed with Lindsay, and they finally have a moment where they're just laughing. So Lindsay has her, you know, she kind of is forgetting the night. You can tell he's like filling in the gaps, like, oh, remember we played that game and that's why you took off your shirt and whatever. By the way, we've all been to that place, if you've ever drank, where you kind of brown out and you don't remember all the details from the night before. How in the world does Carl not see this as a major, major problem for the future? Because I cannot imagine for even a quite small second, I cannot imagine that you are in a position where you are sober, not because like I just don't like alcohol, but because you have a serious disease and you are sober by choice. And now you're filling in gaps for your girlfriend, fiance, potential wife, who is browning out and getting shit-faced at night. One thing I did notice is that when she's laying in there in the bed and they're just talking and sober, they're laughing. And it makes me think, like, they actually enjoy each other sober. And maybe it's not enough, but Lindsay drinking is a major issue in their relationship. We've seen it in front of us now. Last season, when they were in the house, when he proposed to her, she really stopped drinking for the most part for him. So she went completely sober for a few months. And then she started just incorporating a random glass of wine here. She never got drunk last summer. Maybe one night she went out and got drunk. And they got along so well. So I do believe that, you know, I do believe the drinking is the majority of their problems in their relationship. Not to say that, you know, if she was sober, they would be perfect. But I do think that there's no way that that relationship works when you're hammered like that. But Carl tells the people at SoulCycle that she never apologized. And Sierra is not holding back. She's like, I would watch really carefully if you're ready to have that marriage, because she says from the outside looking in, like, alcohol is taking it to the next level. And you have to think, like, is this someone you want to be with? Which I applaud, by the way, all these other people just being really honest with Carl, saying, this isn't going to, you know, go so well for you. So you may want to kind of like consider it, you know, what's going on. And I mean, this is probably the scariest moment of Carl's life, because here he is. And if you guys remember what the world was like, the Bravo, you know, Lindsay Carl PR team was like last summer when they were engaged and getting married, planning on getting married, I think in November or October, I don't even know. Everyone was talking about their wedding. They were doing all these podcasts. They had all these sponsors. Like, this was a major, major moment for him to have to decide, like, do I want to be with her or do I not? And it seems scary. Like, poor Carl. I actually kind of really feel bad for him in this moment. And you know I'm not the biggest Carl fan, but I really do feel bad. Then we go to the Paige and Craig scene. Now it all makes sense, which are back in, because she wasn't in the house that last weekend, but she's excited for Craig to come to the house and she's looking for a new apartment. They have this conversation about the fact that, you know, it's going to be expensive, but she's willing to do it. She needs a bigger space. The real estate agent says, is this for you or for you and someone else? And she has this moment where she's like, well, he's kind of like there. He's kind of there. He's kind of not. It's so clear that she's scared of commitment. By the way, on Giggly Squad, this last episode of her podcast, which was taped this week, she mentions a statistic about how married women are usually not as happy as they were when they were before they were married, whereas married men become happier when they get married. It's like she's really convinced that she doesn't want to get married, I think. I don't know. And it's weird because I think her parents have a really happy, good marriage. But could Craig look hotter and just like better? No, he cannot. And Lance came in, and yes, yesterday when I was watching this, and there was a scene between Carl and Kyle sitting and having lunch, you know, in the city. And Lance goes, oh, I like that mullet. And I said, don't even think about it. If you want to look like anyone, look like Craig. And so I fast forwarded to show him Craig's hair. And he's like, okay. I'm like, we're not doing the mullet thing. Like, you, like, the only person that can ever pull off the mullet is Kyle, and even he can't, but we just deal with it, right? No mullet. So we see the scene between Jesse and West getting their nails done, bless their hearts, talking about, you know, the fact that West doesn't have a job. I didn't know this. a little concerning and doesn't have money. And the fact that Jesse is, you know, a little concerned about seeing Craig with Paige, which ends up not even being an issue. I don't know why they like made such a big thing unless it comes out later, but you know, we know that there was no big drama about that. They end up going to back to the house, of course. And I feel like Wes is the most popular guy in the house. Like Paige is so excited to introduce him to Craig. And in a strange car, we see Lindsay and Amanda driving together, both with their seatbelts oddly placed. Did anyone notice that? Both of them had their seatbelts across their arm. Well, you guys, that's not the right way to wear a seatbelt, in case you're wondering. Maybe it's because they're from New York and they're not driving a lot of cars. You have to wear it over your shoulder. I'm just saying. Like, okay. So they're talking about, you know, their relationship, and Amanda's saying, it's weird because Lindsay talks about Carl like so positively, but we've seen this all go down and it just does not feel like we're seeing like two sides of Lindsay. Now, do you guys notice that Lindsay's so much happier when she's not around Carl? Lindsay hates Carl. I'm convinced. And Carl, I think, actually really loves Lindsay, but hates this version of Lindsay. But Lindsay is so much happier without Carl. It's so obvious. They get to the house. They immediately start cooking the Southern meal, Lindsay and Sierra. And of course, immediately we're seeing Lindsay drink, like immediately. Kyle eventually comes to the house, and then they have this conversation between Paige and Craig about, you know, rent. And Craig is like, if we go over her budget, but we see this sick ass apartment that she wants, I'm willing to put money in, which, by the way, like, bless his heart. What a man. And Paige is like, no, I don't want his money, because if I take his money, that means he has a say in the apartment, and then he's going to have to take some of the closet space or whatever. Okay. Send him my way. I think Lance would take his money at this point. So, Kyle has this conversation with Craig, and he's like, so you don't drink spirits anymore, which, by the way, when was the last time you said the word spirits? Like, I think that's like an alcohol beverage thing. So you don't drink spirits, anymore. And Craig is like, no, I haven't drank liquor since, you know, I forget when. And Kyle is like, is it because something Paige says to you? And Paige says, no, I think it's more just like the look I give him when he does things. And he doesn't like feeling like that, because Craig is, I'm just going to be honest, Craig is a little whipped by Paige. In my opinion, IMO, Craig is a little whipped by Paige. And so I think Craig is like really trying to better his life in any possible way for Paige. But he later talks to Kyle when Kyle is having this conversation, saying like, I wonder if I'm missing out on any like hints from Amanda. And I'm thinking to myself, yes. Yes, you're missing out on hints from Amanda. Because Kyle still drinks like he's a single guy. And Craig is like, no, I realize that there's like the single guy and then the fun boyfriend and then like the serious husband. And I want to go more into like the serious husband. And Paige is like, not with me. Paige wants nothing to do with him. It's like so crazy. She loves him. It's obvious, but she's not willing to take it to the next level. And Craig is having this conversation with Kyle, saying, I, you know, obviously want it to work. I love her, but, you know, I can't guarantee that it will. We're in different places. She's not committing to me in that way. And I'm getting myself to a place where I'm healthy, I'm happy. And like, if it doesn't work out, I will be okay. I don't think he'll be okay. I think he'll be strongly heartbroken, but she will not be okay if she drops him. I'm just going to say that. There is no other man that she will find that I think will be better for her, unless it's someone that is exactly like Craig, but always wants to be in New York City. I don't know. Craig seems like he's just so obsessed with her that he's willing to. He's like, I'm excited for you to come to the house this week. And he's like, I'm just excited to be with you. She's like, okay. What's up with the girls not liking the guys on the show? That's what it is. Amanda doesn't like Kyle. Lindsay doesn't like Carl. And Paige doesn't like Craig. Paige does like Craig, I think, more than any of the other ones, though. Sierra does like West. Then we have one of the most shocking conversations in the bedroom, because now Lindsay doesn't have Carl around, so she's besties with Amanda and Paige. They're all drinking. They're all hanging out. They're getting ready for the night. And we find out that Lindsay and Carl, an engaged couple, they're not even married, no kids, are having sex once every 2 weeks. Dun, dun, dun. We also then find out that Paige and Craig have sex all the time. I didn't need to hear that. Got a little bit like, well, I can't say envious because Lance is going to pop up in the comments and be like, are you serious? I will do it anytime you want, my friend. But that's the thing. Lindsay's like, you guys have husbands that initiate and want to do it. Mine doesn't. Wait, you guys. Why doesn't Carl want to have sex with Lindsay? I don't want to say it out loud, but I just want to say, whenever you find out that a man does not want to sleep with a girl that he's with, it's usually for two reasons. Number one, they're sleeping with someone else, which I don't think is the case. Or number two, he's just not that into her. And I'm not saying it, but I wonder if you guys feel it too. I don't know. It's just interesting to me. Like, Lindsay is a hot girl. He chose her. He wants to be with her. He wants to marry her. Why is he not initiating sex? This is a sober man. It's not because he's too drunk and he's like falling asleep at night. I find it really interesting. Poor Carl, that got exposed out there on national TV, that he doesn't initiate sex with his partner. But that is a problem, y'all. That is a major problem in a marriage, in a relationship, especially because she wants to. So we find out that. Then we didn't really find out how often Amanda and Kyle are having sex, because she said, remember, year two, when we were like, we're year 10 together, but year two, we were, you know, nonstop, like every day, but now we're year 10. I'm assuming they're probably once a week. Amanda and Kyle feel like a once a weeker, which, by the way, in a marriage, I think is totally legit, but they don't have kids yet. So just wait until you have kids. I would up it now so you can go to once a week. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And then eventually we, you know, start the night, we start the weekend. Carl is not there because Carl decided not to come. Lindsay has no idea because she thinks that Carl's just not coming because he wants to bring this huge prop for the theme weekend. So lame. But number two, we find out later that in the Soul Cycle conversation, he said, I'm not coming on Friday because I want to break the cycle of the Friday night fight. Red flag. I need a red flag to just pull up every time I say it. Red flag. Red flag. Katie says, yep, when you get sober, your sex life changes. Sober sex is different to drunk sex. Well, let me ask you a question. For those of you guys that are sober in the audience and have been sober for a long time and maybe are in like long-term relationships, is it harder to have sex when you're sober? Is that what you're finding? Is it easier? Is it the same? Is it better? Is it more uncomfortable? Do you find that it's easier to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish or the opposite? Like, I'm curious about all of that long term, when this is like a long term thing. I understand if you're sober just like a week or 2 weeks or a month, but what about like a long term? I'm curious from you guys. So that's pretty much the end of the episode. We come into the weekend and Carl's going to show up tomorrow for some racing event. It does not look in any way. When Lance was watching this, he said, oh, those two should not end up together. And I'm like, lucky for you, they don't. They don't end up together, thankfully. It's been very hard. It's harder to have sex when you're sober. Okay. Well, this is interesting. Is it because it's more uncomfortable to initiate? I'd be interested to know that. These are all the conversations that we have here on Daily Dose of Donna. Whether you want to or not, join the Facebook group, you guys, if you want more information on anxiety and sober sex. And just kidding. Join the Facebook group to talk about all these things and more. Make sure to join Patreon. I released a video episode yesterday talking more about Dan Schneider. I talked about some Disney casting stories. I talked about Kristen Cavallari and Nick Vile. Just make sure to kind of jump out there and read the live chat comments. They're really interesting today. 450 of you guys here on the live today. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure you press like on the video and subscribe to this YouTube channel. Help me grow. Get me to 15,000 by the end of March. Let's do it. Andrew says we need a daily dose after dark, and we do that. We do daily doses after dark on Zoom for our Patreons. You guys have an amazing weekend. Let's all send good thoughts to the princess. And I'm just devastated to know that this is really why she's been missing in action. Really praying for her and for her family. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great day.